Stand by for action.
Gamer's Haven Special Edition.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. A huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
All right, I am here with Jody Black of Beautiful Brains Books and Games. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your company?
I started Beautiful Brains Books and Games because I had been an editor in the RPG business for Pinnacle Entertainment Group, a couple of their licensees, and for Exile Game Studio. And I was looking for ways to make some extra money, and the economic downturn went, why don't I sell the books that I know so much about? And so it really was a bigger logic leap than that, but it shouldn't have been.
So do you have a storefront anywhere, or is it all online?
It's strictly online and at conventions.
Cool.
So I try to hit about one convention a month. And in the summer months for the big conventions, I'm typically helping out at the Pinnacle booth, Studio 2 booth, I should say. And, it's a lot of fun, and I put a lot of work into it. I took a class at the local community college, sponsored by the Kauffman Foundation for Entrepreneurship, and they kind of put me on, it's called the Fast Track Program.
Okay.
It helped test my, market my idea. And then I also hired a marketing research group from my local college, had their class do a market research study for me about doing a storefront versus being online.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted that storefront, but in hindsight, I'm really glad that they came back and told me, no, it's not working out, you know, there's too high overhead, not enough people.
Yeah.
And then looking into it further, it's like, gosh, those poor storefronts have to set aside like 85% of their square footage just to provide a place for gamers to put their butts down.
Yeah.
That's, when you start looking at it that way, I have nothing but the biggest respect for storefront owners. And I try to encourage people that if they have a friendly local game store, please patronize them. And I mean that in all the senses of the word. And if they can't, you know, those storefronts sometimes can't carry the indie RPGs that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So find me online, find me at the convention, and buy from me if you don't have any other better option.
We were talking earlier about the titles that you stock. How do you go about your selecting what you're going to carry? Because you have so much to pick from.
Oh, well, thank you. First of all, I wanted to carry everything Savage Worlds in print. And I'm working on that PDF thing, but that's a different battle altogether, and I just started. So that's the first step, was just to carry the Savage Worlds stuff that's in print. And I'm still working on finding it. There's a lot out there. And I'm not really going to try to stock any of the other translations. I'm going to stick with English. So I had to narrow it down to that. Then I also stocked, you know, the Hollow Earth game because I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started looking at some of the other things that I like Pathfinder.
Mm-hmm.
Very good for what it does. You know, it's a bit crunchier than I like to do on a day-to-day basis, but definitely has its place in my heart.
Yeah.
And then was like, oh, gosh, there's Fairy's Tale. My kid loves to run that for me. And, well, here's the Castles and Crusades. I know a friend who works there, and this is a great system, too. So now it's really become nepotism. It's I only carry what I like. And if I think that it's a good quality product, it has an interesting hook, then I'm going to pick it up and carry it.
Okay, so when you get a chance to play, what do you like to spend your time playing?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll play just about anything if you just tell me what dice to roll. Because I'm not a rules lawyer. I'm married to one. But I just want to be able to roll the dice and play the character. It's all about the role-playing for me. So we have an ongoing RunePunk campaign going on, run by my friend Mark. We've been playing that for 3 years now.
Nice.
And it is a ton of fun. We're really into our characters. You know, we're stuck at that point of, man, we just want to wrap this up so we can get on to something else.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're having so much fun playing the characters. And we've really tested the Savage World system with it because we are legendary characters. We're walking around mostly godlike,
yeah.
And we still get our butts handed to us. You know, Mark will say, yeah, well, it takes a lot to knock your butt down, but but still fast enough and furious enough at the game table,
cool.
Even with, you know, 30 options there.
Yeah.
So that's what we do on a very routine basis, about mm-hmm. once a month. Then with our other friends we have from kind of across the state, we'll get together about mm-hmm. twice a year or so and just do one-shot games. M&M will play. We'll do Pathfinder. We've tried 4E.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I like it a whole lot, but I don't like the video games. So, and I understand
right.
It's a lot more like the video games.
Yeah,
so.
It does.
But I tried it. I got my gamer cred.
That's all you have to do is try it out.
I gave it a shot. Let's see, what else have we run at those games? Oh yes, Dragon Age RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Clint ran one of those, and we're actually doing that with our kids too.
Nice.
Just as a family game, and it's so funny. He's dialed it down. You know, there's no mm-hmm. dark horror lurking in the corners quite so much. It's more
yeah.
about evil bats, and you know, my two little circle mages are supposed to be leading the group, and they're bickering in front of the mark, and it's.
Yep.
You know, so it's a whole lot of different fun for
yes.
us as a family, as it is, you know, with our other adult gaming friends
yeah.
that can
really.
Game on a more mature level. So I think it's a fantastic setting. The stunt point mechanic in there is just amazing, the way that it
yeah.
just, it really drives up the excitement of the game, just instant. It's like a shot of acid or something. It's just like,
yeah.
wow, let's get going now.
Nice.
Let's see, what else are we playing there? Well, if I think of something else that we're playing with the group, I'll let you know. But
okay.
At home, our daughter runs Fairy's Tale for us.
Okay.
Usually when we're camping, because we're finally at a chance to relax
yeah.
enough to let her do it. But she would run for us a lot more often if she could.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also run a Savage Worlds kitty leverage game
nice.
For the kids in the neighborhood, literally twice. So it's, you know, kind of a pickup game, but the kids are always wanting to go back to it.
Cool.
And I mean, I literally chose that because the kid, I said, they were like, we want to play a game. I'm like, okay, let's do a standard fantasy thing. Well, their idea of what standard fantasy is not what we were raised with Tolkien.
Right.
Because things have gotten so complicated and cool
yeah.
about the fantasy genre that they're just kind of skewed on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, forget it. Let's just talk about modern day. It's the world we live in. And they're like, okay. And I said, and you're all grown-ups. Yay!
Uh-huh.
And you're all bad guys. Yay!
Yep.
And you all steal things. Yay! So it was a win all around.
Awesome. I'm going to ask you a question that could possibly get you in trouble.
Okay.
What's your favorite Savage setting?
Oh, gosh. How do I choose that?
Yeah. It's like trying to pick your favorite kid.
That's right. Well, I always like the ones that I've edited on more, because
mm-hmm.
every time I edit something, I completely fall in love with it and then end
yeah.
up taking it to Clint or to Mark, our GM, and say, run this,
mm-hmm.
please, because it's just so awesome. Let me tell you how awesome it is.
Yeah.
But of all the books that all the ones that I've edited, well, the one that's coming back to me right now is Solomon Kane.
Cool.
And honestly, we haven't had a chance to play it that much,
mm-hmm.
but it was just so much fun to research all of the historical aspects of it.
Yeah.
You know, if it says so-and-so was emperor of Cathay at the time, he really was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did that kind of legwork on it and really got immersed in it.
Nice.
And so the world is very alive and familiar to me. And I'm like, man, I want to go into that world and be the kick butt, you know, Norwegian nun or something. I mean,
yeah.
I want to do that, or I want to be, you know, the pilgrim who's dragged into this, who really wasn't a good pilgrim to start off with,
mm-hmm.
you know. You know, I've got so many character ideas for that setting, and we just haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Awesome. Well, what else would you like to let folks know about Beautiful Brains?
Well, we're online. We're at conventions. I love coming to the conventions because, you know, I get to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
We get to hang out. We get to play games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about the role-playing games for me. So if I get a chance to game, I'm going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of pissed off Sean Fannin last night at his party because I said...
It's Saturday night, and damn it, I'm gaming.
Exactly. I only get a couple of nights to game at this con because I'm running the booth. Yeah. And he's like, you can't leave. It's my party. And I'm like, Sean, I'm gaming. But I did. I had fun at the party. I had fun taking notes from the podcast there.
Yeah.
Okay. Smile and Jack's Bar and Grill. And so I'm looking forward to see what that will end up sounding like, if at all. It's my first time recording them, so hopefully I got something.
It'll probably turn out.
Yeah. But we had fun gaming last night, and got a really interesting scenario there. Mark always comes up with cool stuff.
It was a lot of fun.
Yep. One last thing that I would like to say about Beautiful Brains is that this is my stay-at-home mommy job, and I think that it totally rocks for that.
Yeah.
I don't think there are many people out there who are as blessed as I am to have the opportunity to be at home during the week for my kids, be there when they get off the school bus, you know, be able to do the mommy cab thing and take them to all their activities, be home for them if they're sick. The summer is not a problem for us because I'm already home.
Right.
I can do my editing with, you know, just send them upstairs. So I can do my editing from home, and I can do the online sales from home.
Yeah, and then you can still get your geek on.
Exactly. And then we can go on to a convention like once a month and go have more fun. So since I've started this job, I just can't help but feel so incredibly supported, encouraged, and blessed, because this is really the best situation I could ever have hoped for.
Awesome. Well, Jody, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
All right, so... Gentlemen, please introduce yourselves for the lovely folks at home.
Hi there. I'm John Arcadian. I am one of the developers and the CEO of Silvervine Games.
I'm Edward Yaris. I am a VP, treasurer, and rule breaker for Silvervine Games.
I'm Alex Stringer. I'm a developer. I serve as the secretary, and I do most of the layout and design for Silvervine.
Excellent. And why don't you tell me a little bit about Silvervine and why you guys decided to go ahead and make it?
All right. Silvervine is a gaming system that is based on you getting the most out of your character.
Okay.
It does this in with four the key pillars of Silvervine. The first is unlimited character creation. You get a pool of points, you buy your things. That's how you make your character. You're not limited to classes, you're not limited to I can't have this with this power. You say, I want flight, I want a projectile attack, and I want sword use. You also have thematic control over how and why those things work. One person's sword could be the scale that they've honed off from the ancestral dragon who, you know, founded their clan of humans and protected them. And their flight could work because they have dragon blood inside of them and they can pop dragon wings out. While another person's flight works because I have built myself a steampunk backpack. And their sword can be, and there's a little rope that comes off of it that applies steam to a nozzle that is my steam blade that goes 6 feet long. It's the exact same damaged sword that costs the exact same amount according to the mechanics. It's the exact same flight ability that thematic paint job is on top of it.
But yeah, the trappings are all different.
Right. The same thing works with cinematics.
Yeah, cinematically, we try and let the players narrate their actions as much as possible. So instead of just, you know, I do 15 damage, you know, I run up, I slide on the floor, I kneecap with the mace and then smack it around on his head. You know, we try and let people get into that sort of that sort of feel for it.
Nice.
And once you combine that unlimited character creation with cinematics and thematics, you get your full shared narrative with your characters. The shared narrative is the GM passing the hat off to the characters, letting them describe everything they do, and actually taking over the story. So it's not a cookie-cutter adventure where you're going from point A to point B to point C. It's kind of an island adventure where you move from one island of whatever you happen to be doing. It could be a city, it could be a dungeon, it could be, and then moving around and letting them do what they want to do. And then if one of those islands could be your major plot point, and they can get there when they darn well please, and you know they'll be better prepared for it.
Right.
They'll have everything they want, and they won't be, you know, thinking in the back of their mind, but I wanted to go do this.
Yeah.
You know, it ends up being a spectacular setup for just games that are vibrant and epic.
Cool.
Our convention games, you know, players kind of start out like, what, I can make anything? So what's this? And, you know, you kind of watch them kind of slide into, oh, I can make anything. All right, there's a rule for an unlisted race because you don't have the thing that I want in here. All right, I'm going to make a talking sandwich. People come up and say, your system cannot make the character I don't play. We're like, all right, try us. And we've never yet been stumped. You know, we've said no to some people on some, like, all right, now this is just kind of cheesy. What, you know, you're just, you know, rule breaking, so awesome, and I would love to see you play on your home game, but for the convention game, we need to keep it a little balanced. But, you know, people have made the talking sandwich that jumps around in a toaster oven suit of armor.
Ninja penguins.
Last one sounds awesome.
The Ninja Penguins and the Secret Agent Penguins were two of our first players, and on page 6 in our main book is a picture of them through our player picture project, where we've said, hey, we like your character, fill out this disclaimer, let's get a copy of it, and we're going to go through and pick some of these to put inside
that
of the book.
Looks awesome.
So, and every one of our chapters is started by the player picture project pictures, because we want to show that our players and their characters are what we want to have. They're the core of this system. I mean, the story is secondary, but when you have a vibrant character, the story becomes fantastic in and of itself. You don't have to make a fantastic story
when the players are playing it out.
Exactly. Yeah.
And in addition, it gives you quite an awesome variety of art in the book.
Oh, yeah. We have had fantastic, fantastic characters. Like, on page 112 here, we have the dwarven blacksmith that ended up completely subverting a fighter's tournament politically.
By talking to every other player in it and getting them to say, let's not fight, let's actually steal these stones and take them away ourselves.
The detective here has all sorts of Batman-style utility belt. And he just went all out with, you know, all
he
sorts of neat
any
gadgets.
Regular gun, just gadget gun.
Yeah.
Nice.
We have a rollerblading happy necromancer who is an expatriate from his home country. The Rabbit of Doom here.
Yeah. The little armored bunny.
Yeah, a little armored bunny that nobody could touch him. And he just destroyed the tournament. His name was Sybil Wrynn. It was the winner of the Fighters Tournament that year at Origins.
The system for character creation sounds pretty excellent. What are the die mechanics like when you're actually playing the game?
Well, the actual die mechanics, we handle it with a pool of 10-sided dice.
Okay.
And for every action or test or anything that you're attempting that there's a chance of failure, you roll a number of dice equal to the two most relevant attributes.
Okay.
And we divide them up between things like strength and reflexes, perception.
Seven total.
Spirit. Seven in total. And any of those that come up at 8, 9, or 10 are considered successes.
Okay.
The GM will set a required number of success, or it's determined by the difficulty of your action. And then what skills come into play by reducing the number you need to get from 8s to 7s to 6s to 5s, what have you, depending on how skilled you are in a particular ability.
A really simple kind of way would be like this as a scenario. You know, Alec, you stand in front of the door. You said you want to try to break it down. Give me a roll of strength and reflexes.
Okay.
How many dice is that?
That's 7 dice. I have a carpentry skill, so I know sort of the weak points of the door. Would that be able to come into play?
Absolutely. What level do you have the skill at?
I've got a carpentry at 2.
Okay, so that makes 6, 7s, 8, 9s, or 10s of success. I need 3 successes.
Okay.
Roll your dice.
All right.
Right. How many successes did you get?
I got 4 successes. 3 are 8, 9, and 10, and I've got another one at 6.
All right. You break down the door. Tell me how it happens.
All right. I've built this door before in a fancy mansion. I know exactly where the hinges fulcrum, and I'm able to jam my pick in it into just the right place that it crumbles to the ground.
Awesome. All right. And then you move on from there.
Okay, cool.
And what you've seen here demonstrates not only the flexibility of our skills, because we don't narrowly define skills. If you can explain it, we'll let you have it.
Okay.
Blacksmithing could have come into play.
Right.
My car practices. Why? Because my character is a gigolo who sneaks in and out of places like this, and I know what these doors are like because I've had to do this before.
I heard, I was overhearing the game you were running last night, and...
I'm sorry.
Well, no. It was okay. And the party was wanting to get into this town that apparently is bureaucratic cinematic top to bottom.
Where necromancy is
legal. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the one girl was like, well, I'm a lawyer.
Yes.
And, you know, that should allow me in. And, you know, it worked out perfectly. I mean, other people were sneaking over the walls. I think someone tunneled in. There were a lot of different options for people to get in based on their own skill sets.
The best way I've ever seen to see anybody get into a place they haven't wanted to is to walk up to it and say, who do I see about declaring war? And the stunned guard goes, wait, what? I'm an ambassador of the Elven Nations. I have really fancy armor on. I've made my role. I want to declare war. Hold on, let me go get my manager. Okay, sir, let's see if we can get this worked out. And, you know, but yeah, if they can come up with a great way to do it, we could say, GMs, try to roll with it. Try to make it happen.
The other form of flexibility we have with characters is, you don't, aside of a few set roles like combat, you do not have to use the same two attributes for any given role. Okay. It all depends on how you play your character. Intimidation is a great example. If you're going to walk in, put your fist through the table of the person sitting at to intimidate them, it's going to be strength and presence. If you're going to walk in and just whisper in their ear how you're going to kill their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that's going to be knowledge and presence. Mm-hmm. If you're going to come in and just bend a bar across your forehead, it's going to be toughness and presence.
Silvervine Games does not endorse the killing of children and great-grandchildren, unless absolutely necessary.
But the grandchildren are they're on the outs.
Yeah.
Okay, so with all of the variety of character types that you can have, what are the settings? Like, do you ever have to mandate a given, you know, world or?
We built a setting, and the setting was kind of how Silvervine came to be. I tried to run a D20 game with a buddy of mine in a setting he was kind of working up for a novel, and then it didn't work out well. The things he wanted to do couldn't happen. We got drunk on sake and said, here's what we should do in a role-playing game, and they kind of moved from there. But the setting is an anime fantasy steampunk world setting.
Okay.
That means the entire kitchen sink is open to you, and we designed it that way so that people could not feel like their character concept is out of place in the setting. However, the setting that's in the book, Cirrus, is also, you could just take the stuff that's in there and go, you know what? I want to make this my own fantasy setting, and I could use all the things in here and just use them as I could. You know, it's very easy to make into a fantasy setting of any type that you would like.
Okay, excellent.
So, and you could easily take the rules and be like, you know what, I don't have to do a whole lot to make this a sci-fi setting either, just a different thematic paint job.
Cool. So you guys are selling the book at the conventions. How else can people get in touch with you guys to find out about it?
We will have it for sale on SilvervineGames.com very soon, and RPG Drive-Thru is one of the other venues that we're going to go through.
Okay.
We'll have a PDF of it up there. One thing I do want to mention, we take pride in making some good electronic stuff for people to use. So our character sheets, you can type in them, do file, save as, click on the picture of the character portrait, and draw in an image.
Excellent. All right, well, guys, thank you very much for the time, and we'll look forward to seeing what you guys do with this in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Carol, now you take these notes, and then we're about ready to begin.
Okay, sure.
Well, what are you two doing here? We don't record until tomorrow.
We're making a new promo for All Games Considered, since you were dragging your feet getting one written.
Hey!
She's right, though. It's been too long, and a lot has happened since the last promo.
Yeah, like winning the Gold Ennie for Best Gaming Podcast for 2009.
You mean the one you try to work into the conversation every other episode?
Hey!
Now, there's more than that. There's the new format.
You mean the main show every 2 weeks and the assortment of other features in the meantime?
Right, like games you may never have heard of, the review and new shows.
Don't forget the RPG buffet.
And on the main show, we have more time to focus on gaming topics.
Like board and card games.
And RPGs.
And the people who play them, from the old school to the newest of the new.
But no changeling. Hey!
Find out more at agcpodcast.info. All games considered, because there's more than one true way to play.
Been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
That's not canon.